Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by me, John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
Friendly banter.
Friendly banter. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk. And Mary, World War II. You got anything for me?
I do. In addition to my great uncle John McCombs being a B-17 pilot who did survive the war.
Okay.
The genre of historical fiction focused on women in World War II is really hot right now. In fact, I've read a couple of the novels that have gotten to the top of the bestseller list. One is The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna, and the other is The Lost Girls of Paris by Pam Jenoff. And the latter one actually mirrors the story of A Call to Spy, the film that,
that we
saw and are reviewing.
Now, Mary, what interests you in this? I mean, it interests me because this is a subject I've rarely seen. And I find women, heroic women, to be fascinating to me. Not Wonder Woman, real women. What interests you?
I think what interests me is not only my family connection to World War II, which many people have and share, but the fact that it was such a climactic event in human history and that it shaped the rest of the 20th century. And it shaped my life, even though I wasn't born until much longer after the war. And this is these are stories that have not been told, but were an intricate part of the war effort, I'm assuming on both sides. Most of the stories we've seen, including A Call to Spy, are about Allied forces and the influence that women had, especially in this case, from the intelligence community's point of view.
Sure, yeah.
Often unsung heroes. The lead character, Virginia Hall, was a U.S. citizen, and she had tried to become a diplomat for the United States, but was rejected at various turns for various reasons. But the bottom line, I think everyone presumes now with hindsight, is it was because she was a woman. And she was, however, given an opportunity to become a spy under the special operations executive under the British intelligence community and became probably the most prolific, most successful spy in France, building the resistance to help bring about the change in direction in the war and liberate France.
Yeah, and A Call to Spy, which is the name of our film, you mentioned it, all starts with that fabulous character, Winston Churchill, who brilliantly figured out that women would be able to infiltrate occupied France, the Nazis, better,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. At the time, they were recruiting strictly male spies who were just too obvious in French, Belgium, Swiss. They had all these different networks, and they were just too obvious and stuck out like sore thumbs. And women blended in more easily. They were more trusted. And in particular, the women they recruited, Vera Atkins, who was ultimately became a British national of Romanian Jewish descent, she spoke five or six different languages. She had previously been on the continent.
She is amazing.
She had been on the continent to actually help extricate the Poles who had acquired an Enigma machine and helped smuggle it out through Romania and bring it to the UK, and ultimately it led to Alan Turing's work to help break the Enigma code machine and, again, change the tide of the war. And so even her story, which wasn't boots on the ground like Virginia's and Nora's were, portrayed in A Call to Spy, is pretty amazing and very influential to the outcome of the war.
What I like about this film, and you've alluded to it, is that these are real heroes, regardless of their gender.
Mm-hmm.
Just for what you're talking about with Vera, and then Virginia was such a smart administrator. These are really bright ladies, and there are few men who reach their level, though I do like a Buckminster, is it?
Buckmaster,
who is the officer in charge of this group. and he's going through pain because his secretary is so brilliant, and that's Virginia.
Yeah, right? Vera.
Vera
Atkins.
Okay, and that's, you know, he's just he can't get her to get what she wants, and so she's still his secretary, and I very much like whatever tension there is about that and about her trying to do her job as a respected spy. I love that part. And the other is the doctor.
Yes, the French doctor in Lyon who provides assistance to Virginia and her network.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this before in our other show, and it's Movie Time. And I told you, I am so sometimes so traditional. I was hoping for a romance, but you know, if there were romance, I'd complain.
You probably would.
I would complain.
Well, and it also, I mean, no offense to you and your gender, but these women didn't need men to be successful in who they were.
Yeah.
They certainly partnered with men to be successful in their mission. But they were very self-reliant, self-driven women. And Nora, in fact, the woman of Indian Muslim descent, who was a pacifist, and because of her abilities with being a radio operator, was recruited and dropped behind enemy lines in Paris, France. She did end up being killed, unfortunately, when her network was compromised and she was captured. She was killed in Dachau with three other women who were part of that network. But she became the first Muslim woman to be recognized with military honors after her death during World War II. And Virginia Hall and Vera Atkins were both subsequently honored as well. Yeah. Vera went on to have about a 15-year career, finally, with the CIA.
Yeah.
But she was very private because she always harbored the desire to be a spy in the field again. So even her award ceremony at her request was private, and she never gave any interviews. And she did, however, have one of the new CIA buildings named in her honor. But of course, we can't know where it is or what they do there.
All right, good.
But she was ultimately honored by the CIA, and rightfully so. And all three of them were honored without having a male.
Right. No.
Honored with them. They were honored independently based on their own accomplishments.
It's one of the delights of the film, and I particularly like the noir sequences because I think that brings the most suspense into the film.
Yeah. And she was clearly the most vulnerable of the three.
Right. And I think one of the successes of previous World War II films is the sense of dread that Nazis and the Gestapo bring to the film, right to the fore, in any, except in the case of Noor, it didn't appear to me to be so. Is that, do you have the same feeling, you know, that there's a lack of that dread and suspense that we've come to expect?
I think because so little screen time is actually paid to the Germans and the Nazis.
Yes, true.
That it lends to what you're saying, that suspense and tension between the good guys and the bad guys doesn't fully develop in the telling of this story.
Right.
But you do sense how vulnerable she is, especially as a radio operator, because those signals could be picked up by the Germans. And so she had very limited windows to roll up her antenna, you know, whether it was in a tree or to look like a laundry line. She had less than 20 minutes to do all that, to send her signals, sometimes to wait alone to get, you know, instructions back. That was probably the most vulnerable position you could be in. And I think they did a good job portraying how vulnerable she was and how she had to really think on her feet and drag her equipment along with her.
I think one of the most traditional scenes is the opening scene with her being dunked into the pail of water. And that's, you know, the one we've come to expect of the torture.
Yeah.
But I don't get the same thing we talked about when she goes over the when Vera goes over the Pyrenees.
Virginia.
When Virginia goes over the Pyrenees, even with her wooden leg, they don't seem to have captured or are built on.
I would agree with that. And again, I think Virginia's story in and of itself would have been enough to portray in the film and maybe give a little more artistic leeway to share, you know, the true tension. Because in the film, it's portrayed as, you know, she has a helper to guide her over the mountains. But in real life, as I have read through my research, the people who guided you through the Pyrenees to escape Vichy France...
Yes.
Were oftentimes rough and tumble, hard as they come, wouldn't hesitate to leave you behind or even kill you if they felt you were making them vulnerable to capture. So that tension really never developed in the film. It's portrayed as, oh, we've hired this man to help you across the mountains. And they show a little bit of her struggle, but in real life, her wooden leg, Cuthbert, was a real challenge. She had to walk up those peaks sideways in the snow in the winter, in the worst possible weather. Her stump was bleeding profusely, constantly, and of course with very little supplies to, you know, really bandage her stump properly. So she really struggled to make it, not only against the elements, but there had to have been tension for her to hide what was actually happening to her physically from this guide. So there were missed opportunities in terms of what really happened versus how it was portrayed in the film.
And you're reminding me how much I liked the Guernsey literary and potato peel pie and Summerlin.
Easy for you to say.
Those two, which are online and available, and terrific stories about World War II or post-World War II, and heroic, not heroic, strong women. But the difference is what you were saying, that in fact the film could have just centered on Virginia.
Yeah.
There was a story, copious amounts of heroism for her, yes. And more of that would have allowed us to have more, even more tension.
I would agree with that. And all three women, quite frankly, not just Virginia, although I'm more familiar with her story, could have had their stories portrayed.
Exactly.
And focused on, because they're all fascinating. And all three of them, in fact, have had articles written about them, television documentaries, television shows. In fact, Noor recently had a play written about her under her code name, Madeline, which... you know, is a wonderful tribute to her and her legacy, which was so cut short. Interestingly, three of her siblings actually survived well into this century, Nora's siblings. And so a lot of her story is very rich with detail because they were consulted on articles that were written about her, the play, et cetera. So it makes me curious to want to seek out more stories about these women, but also women like them.
Isn't that the truth? And a good film like this, and this is a good film, will induce you to see more, to go to explore more, as I would like to do with Virginia.
Yeah, and I would recommend. It's called The Milkmaid Spy. It's an episode of Smithsonian's Side Door podcast. It's about 30 minutes, but you'll really learn a lot about Virginia's story as Marie of Lyon, as she was known to the French, and Artemis, as she was known to the Germans.
What about the cinematography? Usually this is an important part of the film and of these World War II films. Comment on that?
Well, it was actually shot in, I think, either Budapest or Bucharest and Pennsylvania. So it's not shot in England or France.
That's a great piece of it.
But I would say generally they do a very good job. The creative team, which is all female, did a very good job of recreating the feel of those true locations. But there were a couple of spots, specifically London during World War II, was not portrayed as sandbags and taped up windows, right. Which it would looked a little too pristine. And even the interior scene that we referenced earlier, where she's Virginia is entering the SOE offices.
Yes.
She goes inside this very, you know, what you would picture as an old London office building. When she's inside, all of a sudden you're in a very modern, glassed-in, light-filled lobby, and you feel for a second, at least I did, that I was transported to a completely different time and place that was not London, World War II, or the SOE offices.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in another superficial way, too, I loved Virginia's face. I think it's the most interesting face. And Vera has the more traditional look. Do you think
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So as actresses, actually, Virginia is the writer.
Virginia Sarah Megan Thomas actually wrote the film.
Yes,
and is one of the producers as well as lead actress.
Yes. As good as any man could possibly do.
I would agree. She's done some pretty tremendous work. And I referenced to you earlier, she and Christian Bale look like they could be twins.
That's great. Well, Mary Irina.
John DeSanta.
The film is A Call to Spy. And although we don't ordinarily, I'm interested, what grade would you award this?
I'd give it a B.
Okay. And I'm going to give it a B+. And we mentioned two other films that we've liked in the last few months.
Yes.
Summerland and the Guernsey Literary Society. And so would you say that this would be a good companion piece to the three?
I think it would be a very good companion piece because it is the one that's based on real women.
Very good.
Back Talk is produced by John DeSanto. Listen to the shows on the podcast experience at wcbe.org.